This is the Mason Vera Payne Show, your go-to lifestyle program, covering everything from technology and gaming to movies, TV shows, and pop culture to the supernatural and beyond. Brought to you by WGNRadio.com with your host, the unabridged millennial, Mason Vera Payne.
Mason Vera Payne here, live from the NVP studio in Chicago, and thank you for tuning in. League of Legends patch 8.3 is here, and joining me to break down this latest patch is freelance League of Legends writer Emily Rand. Thanks for joining me, Emily.
No problem.
Before we get into like the meat of the subject, could you tell me a little bit about yourself?
So I'm a features writer and analytical writer for League of Legends. Currently, I'm freelance. Previously, I worked at Yahoo Esports and The Score Esports, among other places. So
really cool. How'd you get into this?
I played, and my friends told me I was super bad, so I should watch professional streams. And this was back in season 2, and I got really into watching competitive play, and then I just picked up writing about it as a hobby. Then it kind of slowly became a career.
That is really cool. Follow your dreams, right? I'm a little curious. What do you think of when it comes to the patch notes? Is it something that's only going to impact on the pro level or the high ranking levels? Or is it something that's going to affect all of the ranks?
It always affects all levels. It just affects them differently. I've had my own personal issues with some Riot balancing in the past when it's come to like competitive specifically, because that's what I focus on. But I do think that their goal is to find some sort of happy medium between something that's highly competitive for professional play and then something that's also really fun for the casual fan, or not the casual fan, the casual player. And I do think that the frequency of patch notes for League of Legends specifically is aimed at just continuing to keep the game fresh, I guess.
I can see that too, but wouldn't it be smarter to just have like if this was traditional sports like NBA or the NFL, I mean, the rules don't change. Wouldn't it be smarter to just have like the patch notes or it always be the same instead of changing and tweaking things?
So I think the thing that is unique to esports is that they obviously have to sell a game as well, right? So that is kind of where a lot of this stuff is coming from. For me personally, I actually like it when they stick with a patch for a long time. For example, the opening patch of this year, I thought was going to be really stagnant, but I've seen a lot of evolution, especially from a lot of the top Korean and Chinese teams. That's been super interesting because they've been on this patch for 3 weeks for Korea and then like 3.5 weeks for China. So I'm personally not a huge fan of frequent patch changes, to be honest, but I think it's kind of a necessary thing because they are still trying to strike a balance between a player base where a lot of those people won't really care about professional play as much as they will care about what they see in their solo queue games, and kind of trying to keep things fresh and new for them as well.
Riot's about to release another patch, 8.3. Could you explain that one to us?
So it's the third patch in Season 8. The main thing that people are looking at is a rework for one of the champions, Swain, which they announced a while ago, but this is the release of it. There are some changes to runes and then also some like various buffs and nerfs. There is also something that I see a lot of people talking about it for competitive. It might not make as huge of a difference for the casual player or like a player like me, but there's a champion called Ryze that could use the stopwatch ability and an item called Zhonya's Hourglass while he is warping away in his ult. And this is actually, with the Ryze of stopwatch, made him like a very, very strong mid laner because he can so easily escape. And so they're actually taking that ability away so he can no longer go into stasis and escape using his ultimate. So I think that's something that's like uniquely small to competitive that could precipitate a drop off in people playing him.
To me, it's almost like a flavor of the month. So people will find something as cheap as possible.
Yeah. And then Riot's like, well, you can't do that.
One of the things I have noticed, like in pro play, they were using Kog'Maw so much. And I'm like, it got nerfed. is that in correlation because they were like in pro play, they were using him a lot. So they're like, oh, we don't like the way you're playing him. So we're going to nerf him.
Sometimes that's it. I can't speak to what their aim is for Kog'Maw specifically, but they basically changed his ability that allows him bonus attack range and magic damage, and the damage is just slightly lowered. I think it's basically so that he doesn't seem too overpowered, also in casual as well. But yeah, he is not as much in Korea as China, if I recall, but he is like first pick worthy a lot of the time. But since he's still kind of difficult to win with because he needs to be protected a lot of the time because it's very easy to kill him. He's not very mobile. He actually has kind of a terrible win rate across certain regions. So it's kind of funny because I've seen teams banning him out, basically signifying that they don't necessarily want to have to first pick him because they might be afraid that they'll lose with him. So I think this is to kind of mitigate the fact that he has been either ban worthy or first pick worthy for the majority of 8.1.
Okay, so there's a tree, the inspiration tree. It's, I think, considered the weakest of the trees, but they're actually nerfing the unsealed spellbook, which is part of that rune tree. Can you explain why?
So inspiration, when it was initially released, especially for solo queue and the general player base, was considered the weakest. People were kind of like, we don't really know what to do with Spellbook. We're not really sure what to do with Kleptomancy, which are kind of the main two Rune CC, the Keystone Rune CC people playing from that tree. But then there are a lot of other things hidden in there as well, like the Stopwatch, Minion Dematerializer, which has seen a huge rise in competitive play. So basically, inspiration is super valuable for competitive specifically, especially after the sorcery tree was super strong when they first released it. And Summon Aerie specifically was like really, really strong. So they, you know, peeled that back a bit. And we saw a lot of teams in the off season still going sorcery with like Aerie and then double Comet bot lanes for like just a ton of poke and damage in lane and running these huge poke compositions. I can really only speak to competitive in terms of how inspiration has risen so highly. It's mainly because pushing is super valuable in competitive. Lane control and minion wave control is just so important. So with Spellbook, it basically allows you to swap your summoners around. Like, say your Flash is on cooldown, right? And you have your other spell up, which is Teleport. You can sell your Flash for another summoner and then replace your Teleport with Flash. So you basically refresh Flash, which is a very important ability in League of Legends. You can also, if you're a champion that has a hard time early, you can take Teleport to continuously just keep going back to lane so that you don't lose that much control over the push. So the Spellbook allows that, and what they're doing is they are dialing back a bit on the cooldowns of it. I still think it's actually just going to be really valuable because you can still get the refresh. If it's not already in cooldown, you still get the refresh where you automatically have that ability back up. So I still think it'll be super valuable and competitive, but that's kind of like the basics of the rise of inspiration.
You know, when it comes to the competitive and just playing casually, it is a world of difference. And I sometimes wonder, how do they balance it? You know, because some of those things that you were talking about, like, you know, like an unranked match, nobody cares.
I want to say like, so there's so much stuff in competitive that I just don't do when I play, because you're by yourself pretty much, yeah. Unless I'm queuing up with someone. Like, I'm not going to be communicating with my team how to use, like, a Ryze ultimate or, hey, guys, I'm, like, TPing in here even as, like, a support or an ADC. So it's, I think it has a lot to do with, like, the communication you see in competitive play in terms of the difference. But, yeah, that's the thing that I think is the most difficult about balancing the game itself is you do have to find some sort of happy medium between so your pro players are happy and then also your like massive player base is happy.
They have like 150 champions. I noticed that they're changing the health regen on a lot of them, either increasing or decreasing. Why are they doing that?
I mean, it's like so negotiable in terms of the decimal points. It just really looks like they're rounding off.
Yeah.
So like you see something like 1.1184 becomes 1.1, 1.652 becomes 1.7. So I think it's just an easy, more easily digestible regen number, because none of them seem like they'll have any effect on the champions themselves. It's all like very like minuscule amounts of increase or decrease that just rounded off to the nearest decimal.
One of the champions I want to talk about is Zoe. She was nerfed, but it was her Q. Why wasn't her sleep nerfed?
A lot of the problem with Zoe is not necessarily her CC. Her CC makes her super valuable, but then it's her poke that comes from Paddle Star and the frequency with which you can spam that. Because she's actually, and it's funny, Korean teams are still kind of iffy about her. At times, they've picked it up slowly, but because she isn't a character that you think of that kind of like sits in mid lane and pushes and has like really incredible mid lane control, South Korean League of Legends teams are really hesitant to pick her up because they thought her is kind of risky. And the reason is because most of her poke comes from basically spamming out these paddle stars onto your opponent. And so that's why they basically increase the cooldown so that she can't just spam that ability. Because if you see, once she gets to like even one or two items, depending on her matchup, like she'll be chunking out between a fourth and half of someone's health if she can put them to sleep and then hit a paddle star. So I think they wanted to fool around with the damage before they fool around with the actual crowd control.
Besides Zoe and the others that we talked about of like Ryze, what other characters are getting nerfed this patch?
Cog, which we already talked about. We have Sejuani. She's been very high priority jungle pick, and it's just a cooldown increase for her. We have Katarina, Azir, and I actually don't necessarily think this will change, because Azir is another, Katarina is more of a solo queue champion, but Azir is a very high priority competitive pick,
yeah,
just because of his massive lane control and also like his scaling damage. They basically, again, it's like a cooldown increase so that he can't just send soldiers at you as frequently, I guess. So we'll see if that helps, because having Azir in the meta actually seriously affects the entire mid lane competitive meta as a whole, to the point where I talk to professional mid laners and they're like, oh yeah, this is an Azir meta, so we have to play like this set of champions.
A couple of seasons back, Makai was really strong in top lane, I think, and then they nerfed him, and before you know it, nobody really plays Makai anymore. Do you think that'll happen this patch? Like, do you think they nerf somebody that you won't see in pro play anymore?
Doesn't look like it to me. I still think Sejuani is going to be a very valuable jungle pick because of her crowd control. I think certain teams will be a little bit, again, like I said, since I primarily follow North America, South Korea, and China, it was funny watching each of them wrap their heads around Zoe, because South Korea is like, well, we don't have as much lane control initially, so we're just kind of leave her over there until we figure her out. Whereas China immediately picked her up, and then North America was kind of in the middle. So I still think Zoe is going to be high priority. I think you might see a drop-off in Kog'Maw. On the previous patch, they changed they basically shifted the competitive bottom lane meta because people were taking Relic Shield, Overheal, and basically nothing was happening in bottom lane for the first, like, 10 minutes of the game. And that means that it's a lot safer environment for Kog'Maw to farm, right? He might not have to worry as much about super damaging trades and stuff like that. So I think the fact that that happened a patch ago, combined with this like smaller nerf, you might see him drop off from first pick priority. I think there are always teams that are going to really highly value him, like Team WE in China is one of them that will just almost always pick Kog for their team, just because they have a AD carry that plays it really well, and they know how to prioritize the Kog and kind of keep him safe. But I think you might see him drop off in terms of pick priority and ban priority a bit. I think Azir will still be fine as well. We'll see. It's really hard with like pushing champions like Azir to without completely nerfing them into the ground, because again, pushing waves is so important in competitive play that you just don't ever want to not have that. So Azir is still very valuable in that regard.
A long time ago, a pro fighter video game, he played competitive fighting games. He said that blocking is, if you can learn how to block, that is like how, like a step forward into becoming pro. That's like the basic thing you need to understand. And I think with League, if you can learn how to control the minions and get last hit,
yes,
that puts you into a whole nother league of stuff. And I'm just learning how to freeze minions, not very well, but I'm getting there.
It's actually super important, and competitive play values it a lot more highly than solo queue.
Now, one of the things I wanted to talk about is bot lane. Now, it's not for this patch, but I think it's something they're going to try to do this season, is have it so that the AD carry doesn't have to be range anymore. Do you know about that, or is that just rumors?
I haven't seen anything about that, actually. I've mainly been focused on this patch and the previous patch, so that sounds interesting. I don't know where that came from.
Yeah, my producer gave it to me, and I was just like, ooh, this sounds like fun. I want to... Garen is AD carry.
I mean, I'm an AD carry main, and I started in Season 2 playing AD LeBlanc, so...
Oh, wow. Look at you.
That would be really fun for me.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Emily, for coming on. And for those listening, where can they find you at?
You can find me on Twitter at League of Emily. I have really weird hours because, again, I am always up during Korean China games. So I guess that's when I'm most active. But you can find me there. You can find my stuff at ESPN.
This has been the Mason Vera Payne Show. Thanks for listening. Can't wait to hear more? Subscribe, rate, and comment at masonverapane.com. That's MASONVERAPAINE.com. Also, follow Mason on Facebook and Twitter at Mason Vera Payne. That's all one word. And don't forget to share the show with your friends.